Morning, Journey. How we doing? Man, everybody's awake. You got some extra sleep. I love it. All right, here we go. Hey, Kayla and I moved here almost, it'll be 2 years in August. I can't believe it's been that long already, but it feels like a lot longer in a lot of ways. But when we moved here, we knew we were looking for a place to put down roots and call home. And we knew that if this was going to stay, if this was going to become home, we were going to have to find our people. We were going to have to find people to call friends and family. And by God's grace, we have, in a lot of ways, begun some of those relationships in these last 2 years, and we're so grateful for those people. But I know it's also really scary. When I moved to Montana, Bob looked at me, he's like, Logan, are you okay? Like, are you sure you're all right? And John Oakland found me a basketball run, and I found some friends, and I was okay. Like, I was good to go. But, like, he was like, are you sure? Because you just kind of jumped in 2 feet, and, like, you didn't really know anybody here. And so I wonder if there's some people like that in this room today where maybe you are still trying to find your people, and I can empathize with you. Maybe you're in a new season of life. Maybe you're new to town. Maybe you are recently graduated. You're about to go to a new school. Maybe you're in a different stage of life. Maybe your kids have left, and man, now you realize all those connections maybe with your kids. You're like, man, who are my people? Well, this series is for you. And I know there's some big fears to get over. So here's the interactive part. I have a question for you, Journey. In one word, what do you think is the biggest barrier for you to get over in making new friends? And so I want you to think of your answer. And then you know when I'm here, I'm going to make you do stuff. So get ready. I want you to share your answer with one or two people around you, okay? What's one or two? Now I'll wait till I see everybody talk, okay? You know, I got great wait time. So what's one word comes to mind? Go ahead, talk to your neighbors. What's the biggest barrier? Good. Yeah. Maybe talk to two people. I don't know. Biggest barrier. Maybe you're like, it's this right now. Like, I'm an introvert. This freaks me out. All right, stop having fun. Stop it. Stop it. You're done. All right, I want to hear, this is crazy, I know. Maybe shout out a couple of the answers. What's one of those biggest, give me the one word answer. What is it? Icebreaker. Icebreaker? Like the icebreaker part freaks you out? What else? Time. What else? Lazy. Andy, I would never say that about you, okay? What else? Fear. Oh, here we go. Fear. Rejection. Judgment. I didn't spell anything wrong today. Yes, someone to a good start. Here we go. We could continue to fill this board up. Thank you for your vulnerability. I bet some of you in this room, you're like, hey, that's what mine is too. That's what I would have said. These are some real things. These are things that we have to engage and get over. And this is a big list, and this is not extensive, obviously, right? So we have to actually maybe do some work, and maybe God wants to do something in our hearts because he wants us to have relationships. And so here's our main theme today is friendship. And when we talk about friendships, we're not talking about superficial ski buddies or just someone you grab a drink with or just someone that kind of is your roommate. We're talking about deep, deep relationships, people you would call friends, those 2 a.m. friends, as Bob says, those Jonathan David kind of friends. So when I use that language of friendship, that's what we're talking about. But friendships, they take proximity and presence. That's our theme today. Proximity and presence. Proximity means this. I looked up the definition, so this isn't a West Virginia answer. This is Google, you know, trusted dictionary answer here. This means nearness in space, time, and relationship. There's a nearness. We need people and we need friends that are near us. There has to be some life on life, time spent together to have a deep relationship. There's also a presence piece to this. Are they present to you in every stage of your life? Not just like your good morning, how are you? Oh, it's great. Like that's water cooler talk. That's an acquaintance. But we're talking about friendship, people who know the intimate details of your life. And I have a confession to make. I'm a really bad long distance friend. Like real bad. Like if you want to be my friend and we live out of state, like I'm just not that great at it. I'll be honest with you. Maybe I need to work on that. But I just, there's something, like I have different seasons of my life and different people. And maybe you're sitting here today and you're going, yeah, my best friend, they live in like Wisconsin. And I might challenge you a little bit on that. You can still have that best friend, But it's we need people who live in our proximity and are near us, that actually know what our regular Tuesday looks like, that they actually know that when that like bad, you know, you had a scary doctor's appointment and they text you and say, hey, how did that go? They just show up to your house and they just may invite themselves in, or they just show up on your back porch, like those kind of people. And so do you have those people? Because those, there's something about that we need. And so I'm not a great long distance friend. I know that, like I got some work to do there. But the people in my life, I have dear friends from different seasons of my life, but I need people right now, here now, like in Bozeman, that can be close by. And you know, I started to wonder as I prepped for this, but like, were we meant to be great at being long distance friends? Like I know there's like a temptation that we think we can because we have cell phones and cars and things that like, oh yeah, I can have a friend that's hours and hours away, or you know, you plan that one ski trip once a year or whatever it might be. But do you know in Jesus' life, he spent most of his ministry and life within a 5-mile radius? Between Bethlehem and Jerusalem is about 5 miles. And so all the stories that we read from Jesus, it was around 5 miles. Think about that. That's not very far, y'all. And yet somewhere I think, I don't know, maybe we get prideful. We think like, I can do better than Jesus. Like I can have way more relational equity everywhere in the world. And none of us would say that out loud. But Jesus seems to have built his community and his relationship, and he changed the world from within that 5 miles. What does God want to do within your 5-mile radius? And I know we live in a big valley, right? In this room, there's people from all over, from Ennis to Livingston, all over, watching online. But who are those people that you are right in your proximity right now that are near you? Maybe through their presence, you might grow closer to Jesus. And this isn't just an idea in my head, but the next theme we want to talk about is that God is a God who models presence and proximity to us. If you open your Bibles to Exodus 29, this is God speaking to Israelites, and he says, so I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar, and I will consecrate Aaron and his sons to serve me as priests. Then I will dwell amongst the Israelites and be their God. They will know that I am the Lord their God who brought them out of Egypt so that I might dwell amongst them. I am the Lord their God. God's desire was to be with the people right there in the Old Testament. This is Old Testament. In Psalms 37, we see this. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. I love that language. The Lord delights in every detail of our life. Those of us who've put our faith and trust in Jesus, it's like a good father who's holding our hand. Even when we stumble and fall, he picks us back up. He's got us by the hand. If you're a follower of Jesus, that's what Jesus does for us. That's what God does for us. And this is carried on into the New Testament, right? So we got a God who wants to dwell with us. He delights in our details of life. John 14 says this, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father. He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. For hear this, right? He lives with you and will be in you. It's the Holy Spirit. We just had a whole series on the Holy Spirit about the idea of the Holy Spirit. He comes and dwells with us. God wants to be with us so much that he actually sends his Holy Spirit to live and reside within us. That's a nearness. That's a nearness of time, space, and relationship, right? That's who God is. There's a proximity. Jesus spent time. Those are Jesus' words. Jesus walking this earth. Lastly, in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul carries this on. He says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? Friends, the gospel is this, that God who loves us so much that he actually entered into the human story through Jesus and redeemed through the blood of Jesus our brokenness and redeemed us into right relationship with him. That's why we're here this morning, that we can celebrate the risen Savior and we get to celebrate what God has done and what he is doing in our lives. And God is not just a God out in the clouds who just doesn't care about us, but he actually came down to be with us, God with us. Proximity and presence. And so as image bearers, if we carry the Holy Spirit, as people of God, if we say we follow Jesus and we've accepted him as Savior, then if it's true that the Holy Spirit's in our lives, and that actually means that wherever we go, God kind of goes with us. And so we actually carry God's presence and proximity with us as we engage other people. We get to be that extension of that in our relationships. Isn't that amazing? And this is Paul who wrote 1 Corinthians. This is carried on in his theme and his books. And Paul, I think, lays out this great idea of proximity and presence. Because Paul, as we know, did a lot of missionary journeys. But Paul Paul had his people too. He had found his people. And we don't have time for this whole list, but there's lots of lists at the beginning and the end of all of Paul's letters where he addresses them to certain people and then kind of gives like little antidotes, like you would write with a personal letter, like the email of the day. He would write them and say, "Hey, tell so-and-so I said hi." And we know that Paul did not stay in one place at one time, but he actually moved about because he was doing the work of the Lord and he was setting up churches and encouraging people in different seasons of life. But each of the letters, I love that because there's actual lists of people. And he says, "Hey, tell so-and-so I said hi. Let them know, hey, I'll be there soon." And one of these passages in 1 Corinthians, I'll read it for you guys in chapter 16. He says, "I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia. And perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may send me on my way wherever I go. Hear this. I do not want to see you now just in passing, for I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost. For a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." So even Paul knew this. I think Paul deep down inside, wouldn't it be hard to make these deep friendships in these towns and set up these churches and stuff? And then he kind of had to release it and go to another places. And he's kind of having a long distance relationship at the time, but he's like, "Hey man, I want to spend time with you. I long to see you, but the Lord has me in Ephesus for a reason." And friends, he has you in Bozeman for a reason. He has the people you're engaging with for a reason. And so as you're trying to figure out who your friends are, maybe as you're trying to figure those people out, God has already put people around you for a reason. So if you're sitting here today saying, "Logan, I don't have a lot of friends," well, maybe that person's in your midst and you just don't even know it yet. Paul seems to be able to hold that tension of people he's made relationship with, but also knowing where my feet are matters and the people around me matter. And so friends, that's for us as well. So as we carry on this day, we're getting really practical, okay? And I want us to help us find some of those people that might be under our nose a little bit. So I unapologetically stole this from my wife, okay? If you know anything, I stole this from Kayla. She gave me this illustration. So if you have anything to write, does anybody have anything to write with? Or you have a smartphone? If you do, ask someone under 30 around you. They'll help you know how to draw on it, okay? If you have something to write with, I want everybody to draw with me, okay? We're going to make a couple different circles. It's like a bullseye, okay? In the middle circle, I want you to draw your name. This is you. Go ahead. Don't just look at me with this blank stare like, "I'm not going to do it. It's Memorial Day weekend." So this is us. This is us. This is our relationship circle. This is me in the middle. And in the middle circle, I want you to put your BFF. Who are those people in your life you would call your BFFs? If you don't know what that means best friend forever. Okay? Who are those core people? Like if you had to identify them, who would be those people? Because I want to help you guys find your friends today. I don't know their names, but I think we can find some. Who are those couple people? Go ahead, write them down. You can type them in there or however you make a list. I don't care. Put those, those are your dearest friends. Who are they? Good. Okay, in that next circle, I want you to put people who maybe not be your best friend, but they're good friends. Okay, maybe they're a friend. Maybe they're someone that was in your wedding, or maybe it's a roommate. It could be someone you have hobbies with. You hopefully know when their birthday is or something like that, but you wouldn't call them best friend material necessarily yet. Maybe they're your ski buddy. Write their names. If you can't come up with the names, that's okay. Don't freak out. We're going to help you. We're going to help you today. All right. You can put as many as you want. Maybe you're like, "Man, I'm just super social. Let me pull out my phone. I got a bunch of contacts here." How many you got? All right, as you keep working through this, the next one, this is your acquaintances. These are like water cooler people, okay? Like you might know their name, like, "Hey, Bill," but you're taking a 50-50 shot, right? Or maybe you've talked to them a little bit, or maybe they're a colleague at work. We'll call them acquaintances, right? Who are they? Put them in that outer circle. There's a purpose to this. I'm not just trying to make you feel lonely, I promise. Or really good about yourself. Like, "Man, I'm doing pretty good. This is great." Who are those acquaintances you have? Might be someone. Who is it? And I pray that God's putting people in your heart. Who are those people? Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's like you wave to them, like, man, your lilac bush looks great, you know, that kind of thing. Okay, we good? Can we move on? Outside circles this. These are like outside influences. This might be like your podcast you listen to. And don't just write podcasts, write the people or whatever you listen to. Maybe it's an author. Maybe it's T. Swift. I don't know. Swifties in the house. I don't know. Who else could be? Maybe it could, those kind of things. Culture. Maybe it's radio, whatever news you listen to, whatever. That kind of stuff. Okay. You ready to work through this relationship circle? We got some names. Do we have something we can work with? Okay. Here's the reason. I didn't just do this just to do a silly drawing. There's a reason for this. Do you notice that this circle is the smallest on purpose? So your BFFs, if you have 15 people in that circle, that's probably too many. Like, you're crazy. You know, like, I don't have that relational time to be able to have 10 best friends. I don't. Maybe you do, but I would have that hard pressed to understand that, right? These are people who core know you, and maybe, like, if you have so many people in there, like, and I don't mean this doesn't mean you have to break up with a friend, but maybe they need to move to just a friend. Because here's what we're talking about, guys. If God wants to give us deep, intimate friends, friends that actually know the deepest things about hearts, like, you can't pour out everything who you are and do the same for them with 20 people. Like, you don't have enough hours in the day. You don't have enough energy in the day. But who are those couple people that you have? And the same thing for these friends. Maybe there's some of these friends that are here, but maybe it works the other way. Maybe God has put on someone on your heart that maybe you're like, man, I've skied with them enough, I've hung out with them enough, that maybe that's a person that could become one of those deep friends. Maybe you realize, you're like, man, we're not there yet, but maybe that's who God has put in my life on purpose. Maybe that's one of those people. Or maybe for some of us, it's this acquaintance, and maybe they might not jump to a best friend right away, but maybe they can move to a friend. Maybe you actually remember their name at work. That would be a start, right? And maybe you invite them into some area of your life. Hey, man, could we go grab lunch today? Or hey, do you want to go? Hey, we're going to go take a walk outside, go grab a slice of pizza, whatever it is for you, however that works for you. And then there's these people on the outside, and like, while they are great and influential, guess what? Taylor Swift does not know you exist, probably, okay? I'm sorry to tell you. Some of you are like, no, I'm her number one fan. I'm sorry, she does not know, probably. She's grateful you download her songs. She doesn't know you exist, right? Like, these are big voices. These are important things. Like, you could spend a lot of time, and you're like, man, I put all this time and energy in here, but like, these people, like, the people outside here, like, who you'll never meet and not know, like, they cannot be the loudest voices in your life. So I could be like, oh, this is the best podcast, I learned so much, but like, this person doesn't know I exist. I need real people in my inner circle who can actually walk with me and deeply know my life, right? Paul had his letters where he addressed real people. He addressed them to congregations, but there was also individuals. Jesus spoke to masses. He had 12 disciples, but he spent time with the core three groups of people that he shared vulnerably with in his deepest, darkest times, saying, hey, would you come pray with me? Because my heart is grieved to the point of death. Like, do you have that person? If Jesus needs that person, I guarantee you we do. Do you have those people? And maybe God has begun to illuminate some of those things for us. Maybe you're out in here in this room and you're like, man, I'm the Lone Ranger. I don't need any of that. Man, good for you, but I would highly doubt that. Because life has a way of just beating us up that we need those people in our corner. But we have to be willing to engage this difficult stuff over here. Because I think a lot of times, guys, this list over here is what doesn't allow us to get deeper into this. Right? Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you've been rejected. Maybe you have that person that was a great friend and then something happened and now you're like, man, you know what? I'm not doing that again. So I'm just going to kind of keep arm's length away. Like, I'll ski with everybody, but don't get on my ski lift kind of person, you know? Like, or maybe you just hobby, or maybe you live for that girls trip once a year, but that's not enough. That's not enough. It was not enough for Jesus. It was not enough for the early church, and it's not enough for us friends. So now we have to get very, very practical. Now that we've identified some people, maybe I pray that God's putting this in. And if yours is looking a little bare, I'm really sorry. But guess what? I pray that God would give you one person, just one lead, one start. Because it doesn't, you don't need 20. Like I hang out with high schoolers and middle schoolers a lot, and they're always like, I just want all my friends around. And it's like, dude, you just need a couple. Just get like a couple core ones, you know? Like, it would be awesome if you had all Christian friends, but guess what? Just get like two. You'll be good. Just start there. So it's the same thing. So I actually interviewed some of our students and I asked them, because Brian pointed out last week, they are the loneliest generation, Gen Z. And so I asked a group of guys that I hung out with this week for breakfast. I said, how do you make friends? And they all affirmed, they're like, man, it's really hard. And this is what they told me. So you want to hear from Gen Z, this is what they told you. Number one, for one of our graduating seniors, he said, you need to embrace the awkward. I love that. Embrace the awkward. And I'm a youth pastor, y'all. I live in the awkward. This is what I do. I got like a PhD in awkward, okay? I don't. That'd be awesome. That'd be fantastic. But I train my leaders. I'm like, hey, we exist to cut through the red tape of social awkwardness. Because I find a kid and he's like, I go to Belgrade Middle School. I'm like, awesome. Let me find another kid that goes to Belgrade Middle School. Because guess what? Y'all are in the same season. So we don't like literally hold their hand, but we like walk them over and we're like, you should know him. He's awesome, you know? And they're volunteer, they're small group leaders. Like, you guys need to know each other. Because you know what I hear all the time? Logan, I'm just so lonely. I just have no community. And I'm like, you got to get over some of the awkwardness because you come to youth and there's like 100 kids here. Surely you can find someone that you can hang out with. And I think about this same room because, friends, those teenagers become college kids who, you know, you had your sport in high school or your club, and then you don't have that going into college. So then you find some other group, and then you get out of college, and then you're like, wait, how do I make friends? I'm awkward, and you don't know what to do. And so you just isolate. That's what's happened. That same teenager becomes the adult who doesn't know how to make friends because we're not willing to embrace the awkward and get over some of these things. And for some of you in this room, maybe you need to embrace the awkward. I have a rule with our kids. I say, don't make it weird. I think it's weird that we come in a room this size with 900 people and we don't talk to anybody beside us. That's weird. That's really weird to be like, hey, good morning. Please don't talk to me. Sit in my row and then never talk to the person. Because you know, you see that person probably almost every week if you come here. And you're sitting here saying, Lord, give me a people. Give me a person. Give me some friends. I'm like, here we are. There's a bunch of people in a room. But you may have to have an awkward moment and go over and just say, hey, my name's Logan, what's yours? It starts there. You may have to, like any of you guys in married in here, you have to, at some point you had to muster up the courage to ask that certain someone out of like, hey, can I take you on a date? It doesn't just magically happen. It doesn't just magically happen, but you have to have an awkward moment. Secondly, our leaders, one of our students said this, be courageous. You gotta be really courageous. I remember when Kayla and I never thought I was bad at making friends until I got married and we had to do what we call like dating for married friends. Do y'all know this season of life? Where like me and Kayla would go like hang out with another couple and we're like, okay, did you like the wife? Did I connect with the husband? No, he's super weird. Or like the wife didn't talk at all. And you're sitting here like, man, this got really hard because now it's another person in this factor. But we have to be courageous to kind of do that over and over again. So I want to encourage you in this room, if you're sitting here saying, man, I got this acquaintance that needs to move to a friend, then maybe what you need to do is go have a conversation and be courageous. And maybe it doesn't work out. Like maybe you take Ted out for lunch from work and you're like, that didn't work. This isn't going to be a good friend. But you know what you need to do is like do it again. You need to go on a lot of like friend first dates. Like go on a first date with some friends. Like guess what happens? Like it doesn't work out. Okay, great. You still had a cup of coffee. You'll survive. You know? I can't read in the text, but like Paul's going into towns he had never been to before, starting churches, telling people about Jesus they had never heard about. And like, I bet there were some awkward conversations and I bet he had to be pretty courageous and know that, hey man, the Lord's going with me and I'm going to have to build some relationship here. So for you, are you willing to be courageous? As one of our students said, go on some of those friend first dates. Do just one this week. Maybe it's someone, maybe it's a roommate that you're like, man, you know what? I think I could be a little more vulnerable with them. I'm gonna press in a little bit more. And lastly, this is my biggest takeaway. Hopefully, if anything you take away today is root your identity and value in Jesus. This is for everyone. I deal with this more than anything when I talk to kids and young adults and premarital and people coming to my office. I'm going to ask you the question of who are you? And I want you to answer, like, if I had to ask you, if I looked you in the eye and said, who are you? And you can't say anything about your job, your family, where you're from, your hobbies. Like, how would you answer that question? Who are you? Who are you? And friends, if you don't know who you are, then we bring that baggage into our friends because we look for people to affirm us and to give us identity. And you're like, oh, well, I'm so-and-so based on my hobby or what I do or what I create or how I act around these people. And with teens, that's really hard, right? Because everybody wants to be accepted. We all want to belong somewhere. So we just try to do whatever we can to fit in and to do whatever. And sometimes it can lead to some really dark places, but the same thing happens for adults. We do the same thing. We just become like, you know, I don't know how to make friends. So I'm the golf guy. I talk about my 401k. Like I'm just that person. Right? Because we don't really know who we are. So we just kind of do what everybody else does. Keeping up with the Joneses, all that kind of stuff. And friends, you will hurt people if you're looking for them to affirm your identity, if you're using them to give you identity. And we all need people, but do you know who you are as value of Jesus? If you're a follower of Jesus in this room, then my identity, my value cannot be determined by any single person, but only by the blood of Jesus. And so I know I can engage somebody. I can be courageous. I can get over the awkward knowing, hey, I'm Logan. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. And I can engage you because you know what? Like, I want to get to know you, but you, like all my value is not put into your relationship, right? I can actually engage that and just say, man, I can be curious about your life because I'm not just trying to say, what can you give me? That's a consumer mindset. We don't want to be like that because that's another image bearer that some God cares about. Do you know who your value and your identity is in? Is it in Jesus? Jeannie Allen, in her book, Finding Your People, she says this, it's scary to initiate, but Jesus was the great initiator. It's scary to initiate, but Jesus was the great initiator. That's what Jesus does for us. He initiated us. He came into our story. He walked into our life and calls us friend and calls us co-heirs in Christ through his blood and through his sacrifice. We're going to land on this. I got a little story for you as we close today. I love the podcast thing. This is me. I love podcasts. I love listening to basketball podcasts. My Nuggets are in the finals. I'm hyped. Yes. Yes. If you're a Lakers fan, I'm sorry, but I'm not that sorry. Okay. It was awesome. First time ever Nuggets in the finals. If you want to, do not call me when the finals start. Okay. I'm going to be watching the game. But about a year ago, I ran across this article. I tuned into one of my favorite podcasts, one of the most downloaded every week. And I was caught off guard about a year ago when he was the main host. He was interviewing one of his reporters or one of his journalists for their website. And he was talking openly about his battle with cancer. And I was caught off guard because this was one of my favorite guys I was, you know, listening to at the time. And he starts talking to him, and this guy's interviewing him. He's like, man, you wrote this article, which we have a picture of the article. It's a guy named by Jonathan Charks. And he wrote this article called, Does My Son Know You? And the host was interviewing him saying, you know, hey, you talked a lot about your family and how much faith has played in your life. And I was like, wow, here's this podcaster letting this guy just openly talk about Jesus because he had a really bad diagnosis of cancer. He's like, hey, what do you want to write about as your last big piece? And we're going to run it everywhere on our website and online. And this is what he chose to write about. And so I want to share a piece of that. And Jonathan Charks talks about his life, and he talks about his family history, and he talks about going to a small group for the first time. And this is what he said. It says, but nothing that exciting happened. They sang a few songs and then talked about the Bible for a while. At the end of the meeting, everyone paired off to pray for each other, and the pastor asked me what I thought of the group. Then he asked if I would come back. I said, I guess, but I wasn't sure. That was 7 years ago. Some of those strangers from the house that first night are now some of my closest friends. It didn't happen overnight. It took me a long time to feel comfortable. I usually came after the life group had already started and left as soon as it was over. But I was seeing the same people every week, and I was telling them about my problems, and they were telling me about theirs. Do that for long enough, and you become friends. You get to know enough people that way, and life group goes from something being an obligation to something you look forward to. This guy at the end of his life, really bad cancer diagnosis, he talks about his small group. He talks about the people in his life. And he goes on to talk about how his dad had passed away from Parkinson's when he was a kid. And he said one of the things that stuck out to him was that his dad had no friends, that a couple people brought some meals. But at some point, he's like, man, I couldn't believe my dad had no friends. Like, no one was there. No one came and engaged me. And so he writes this really powerfully. He says, I've already told some of my friends, when I see you in heaven, there's only one thing I'm going to ask. Were you good to my son and my wife? Were you there for them? Does my son know you? I don't want Jackson, his son, to have the same childhood that I did. I want him to wonder why his dad's friends are always coming over to shoot hoops with him, why they always invite him to their houses, and why there are so many of them at his games. I hope that he gets sick of them. Jonathan Charks passed away this past fall. And I just was so blown away because I read that article and I was like, man, that's what friendships are. And I was like, that's a sermon right there. Friends, do you have that type of person? Like, I want my sons to have those kind of friends. I want my sons, God forbid anything happened to me, that there would be people in their life that would walk along them. And friends, you need that too. You need those friends. Do you have those close people that could be that for you? And if you don't, then we need to start moving towards that. And maybe it's God's prompting to move. I know it's a big, scary thing to move from acquaintance to a friend, to a friend, to a deeper friend. But I read that story and I go, man, that's what we all want. You can't hear those words and be like, nope, I'm out. No, thanks. I'm good. And so I have a question for you as we finish our time today. What's the cost of not finding a few deep friendships? What's the cost? We know what it's going to cost. We know it's going to take time. It's going to take some energy. It might be scary. Some of us need to get over some brokenness and some hurt that maybe we've experienced, some even fears. But what's the cost of us not having that? You're going to walk this road of life very lonely, disconnected. And potentially you're missing out on what God has for you. Like I have committed to this in my life. Like Kayla and I were like, man, we're going to be here. We're going to be rooted. We're going to buy a house and we want to find the people who are near us. We want to become friends with them and we need to be rooted with some people and not that you can't have long distance friends, but I need both. Like it's like a both and, right? Like I need people who know my life and I can still like love and appreciate those people from the past. And friends, you do too. What's the cost if you're not willing to engage this? And maybe even what the cost might be is there might be someone right here in this row that's like, maybe you have room. Maybe you're like, you know what? I don't have one of these, but I could actually bring someone in my circle. Maybe there's someone in this room that like they think God does not care about them at all, does not see them. And you could be part of their story by saying, hey man, why don't you come hang out with me for a minute? What if you were that for that person? You could be part of someone's faith journey because they're like, man, I thought no one cared about me. And then finally that dude I've sat beside for 5 weeks in church, he just said, hey man, do you have lunch plans after this? Do you want to go hike the M with me? Get to know them, ask them, hey, what's it like to be you? What's it like to walk in your shoes for a minute? There's a cost to that, friends. And I hope that we won't run away from that. Will you pray with me? Lord, I know this is scary work. This is hard work. But Lord, it matters. You had friends. If Jesus, God, you had perfect relationship with the Heavenly Father, and yet you spent time with a core group of people. You had core friends. You had core relationships. You cared for them. You wept for Lazarus when he died. And Lord, I ain't outliving you. I ain't outdoing you. And I know I need deep friends. And Lord, I thank you for the people who have become friends for me. Lord, I pray that you would help us, all of us, like go deeper in the friends that we have, that you would begin to open our hearts to that, that if there's people maybe in our small groups where maybe we're just like, man, I need to either get in one or like, hey, that guy and that person I connected with, like I need to be more vulnerable with them. And Lord, I just pray over this whole series as we engage this, that even this week, will we just identify one person and be willing to go a little bit deeper, that we would walk closer to them with proximity and presence, Lord, knowing that you go before us and that you modeled this before us. So God, we love you, and for all these things we say, in your precious name, amen.